Heading on into hour number two of our Thursday get-together. The whole squad is in the building today. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scraby, Gwynn and Chris from the Odyssey Palace Studios here in San Diego, California. Heading towards 5 o'clock, and this week's version of the Padres' commercial-free one-hour roundtable, which you will hear between 5 and 6 p.m. tonight. Following that, Matt Scraby takes center stage with the Scraby Chronicles. We have a little daily gambit to get to here shortly. But before that, Tony, a couple of big injuries in the National Basketball Association. First, Zion Williamson, who exited that loss to the Lakers with, what, about 4 minutes to go in a tie game and had to go off the floor. He is out for at least a couple of weeks. And that'll be... Should impact, I would think, New Orleans game against Sacramento tomorrow night. And then on the other side, Miami Heat star Jimmy Butler, several weeks with a right MCL injury. He hurt that in the loss last night to Philadelphia. Miami still nearly won that game, and Butler finished the game. He got hurt in the first half, went on to play the rest of the way, but shot only 3 of 14. As bad as I and as little confidence as I have in my Bulls, if they can't beat the Miami Heat without Jimmy Butler, they're never going to beat them, because Jimmy Butler is the heart and soul of that team, and he won't play tomorrow night either.
That's a tough dude. If the reports are true that he's got some type of MCL issue, man.
He finished the whole game. He did. He played the entire game. And then after the game, you know, it was led on that he was hurt on the final play of the first quarter. So those two NBA games may be affected tomorrow night. We'll talk about those in the Daily Gambit tomorrow. But as far as today is concerned, it's a very light schedule in the world of sports on this Thursday. Almost everybody's taking the day off. But darn it, we found some stuff to bet on anyway.
You believe it.
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwynn and Chris go through the top bets of the day in the Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
Daily Gambit is our daily sports betting segment here on Gwynn and Chris. Everybody, please gamble responsibly. Now, we did bet, let's see, five times last night. The first one would be the Angels and the Rays, and it was a total score in the game of over under 8.5 runs. Both Chris and I went under, but the final score totaled 9 runs.
Angels scored 2 in the ninth.
Oh, there you go.
Against, was it Peter Fairbanks?
Yep.
Tampa Bay reliever who afterwards said...
If we have time, we need to play that.
I heard it was great. He said he was terrible.
Phenomenal.
He stunk.
Oh.
And he looked up at a clock and he said... I have 16 more minutes to feel like this, and then I'm moving on.
And the words he used was, he said, and it was very, like, you could tell he was irritated, but he was super calm. He was like, no, it was just a general suck. I don't think it was a specific suck. It's just a general suck today. I was bad in all areas.
All categories. So I shouldn't drop him for my fantasy.
He cost us the over-under bet, though. By those two.
Wow,
ones.
He's also got some crazy hair.
That's how stressed he was last night.
Man, I didn't expect that picture. All right, the second bet we made, Sixers and the Heat last night. Sixers were 5.5-point favorites. Chris chose the Heat. I chose the Sixers. Sixers ended up winning this, but they won by 1 point, so the Heat are the ones that cover 105-104. Bulls -3 over the Hawks. Chris chose the Hawks. I chose the Bulls.
Yeah, I'm no fade. You know I never have faith. Yeah.
Bulls won big, though. 131-116.
And Coby White had a
ballin'
career game. 42 points, but as Tony pointed out, the NBA does not record the statistics for the play-in games anywhere.
No.
They don't count for the regular season. They don't count as a playoff game. So this guy scored 42 points, his career high. but it will never be recorded in history anywhere. This is such a silly thing that the NBA needs to kind of change.
Now 20 years from now, when there's been a bunch of playing games, it'll be like, the top scorer in playing games.
Yeah. I mean, give the guy, he scored 42 points, and to me, it's a playoff game. I know they're calling it a play-in, but it's absurd that he doesn't. He'll never get credit for that. Weird.
That is weird. That is another reason why the NBA confuses the heck out of me, and it makes me sad. DeMar DeRozan and Joel Embiid, 29.5 was their over-under for scoring last night. But we were choosing, right, Chris, who was going to actually score more.
Correct.
And we both chose DeMar DeRozan. Joel Embiid actually scored more. He had 23 points. DeRozan had 22 points.
Yeah. DeRozan got off to a hot start and then got out of the way and watched Kobe White dominate the game.
Hey, if someone
That's
else
what great
do
players do, though, don't they, Tony? I mean, DeRozan knew he didn't have to step in and take over that game.
No.
Next game he may have to, but not that one. So he just let the other guy do it.
The disappointing thing for the Bulls is that DeRozan's daughter is not going to be in attendance.
Yes, they need her
he would seal the deal.
Yell at the Miami Heat when they're shooting free throws.
Oh, yes, I do remember that.
Yeah.
I do recall it annoying you a little bit.
Yes,
you
were
so upset. Yes, it did. I mean, this little girl, she's cute. She's a little girl.
Just being a little girl.
She's being a little girl.
Don't get me to try and think I'm going to agree with you. I'm not going to.
But she's, like, making a complete scene during an NBA basketball game. Okay, I know I'm fighting an uphill battle trying to trash a little girl.
No kidding. I mean, we know you're a hater, but at least make the people be over 10 years old before you hate them.
Okay.
This is off subject. Yes. Did you see the clip of Ian
Ian Poulter?
His son getting this super cool card, Upper Deck card. Did you see this?
No, I'm not an Ian Poulter fan.
I don't know who he is. I know
he's
golfer.
He's an English golfer who crushes the U.S. in the Ryder Cup.
We'll get into this later. I'll explain it later.
All right. Chris, the last bet, I don't remember what we actually bet on.
It was Trae Young versus Jimmy Butler. And who was going to score more points? Trae Young won that.
Okay.
Mostly because Jimmy Butler got
hurt. And you won.
And I got the bet.
Yes,
so
that's what I thought.
6-8 for me. 4-10 for you this week.
Man.
By the way, I know Tony didn't get a chance to chime in on this. Did you want to chime in on the dismissal of Jontay Porter from the NBA for life? And his gambling, or do you want more time for that?
Because
we talked about it at length yesterday.
Okay,
I don't know that people want to hear us go through our harangue.
I don't want to drag.
But I want to hear what you have to say.
No, I can do that pretty quick. I don't need a whole segment for it.
Okay. Go for it.
This goes to everything that you've been saying from the moment the first sports league said they wanted to make it legal.
Yeah.
Was that this was the road we were headed in. And the crazy part is, like, I understand why the sports want to do it, right? People gambling on your sport means more eyeballs. However, the other end of that scope is your players, because the thing that we've talked about, the thing you got to protect most is the integrity, the fairness of the actual game. Because once people think that this is WWE, it's a wrap. It's a wrap. You won't be able to go back. And the thing is, you could do all the fixing in the world. If people start to believe that the fix is in at whatever level, it's over. Sports as we know it is done. And so what I hope is that this penalty scares the bejesus out of everybody.
I hope so, too.
And that they don't go down this route. But I tell you what, baseball, football, basketball, y'all better strengthen up these, come up with some different rules for your players. Are we going to be having this conversation more often?
I'm calling for baseball and football and basketball to just get out of these deals they have
with
all of these gambling companies. I think they have to make the statement that as much as it might help us get eyeballs, the risk is too great.
I
know I'm not going to win, but I'm calling for it.
But it's like asking them to shorten the season.
Once they're
giving
that
money, they ain't giving it back.
I know they want the money. And, you know, I said this yesterday, you know, there's a lot of complaining, and rightly so, about the salaries in the WNBA now that everybody knows how much these kids make.
I went through it last night. It's pretty wild.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. Well, if they can get to an NBA player, a gambler can get to them, an NBA player, What's going to happen if they start
seriously
approaching some of these WNBA players that are on the end of the bench?
When I was training,
I mean, it's scary.
When I was training to be a bank teller, they made us go through a class on learning when you were being quote unquote groomed to help people with information, like someone. So they always said that they always look for the people who make the least amount of money because it's more, it will be more likely that they'll take
more
the
risk. Yeah.
And that's exactly what's going on with gambling as well.
I mean, we used to, every year they used to bring in a, I don't want to say, he wasn't a hitman, but he was a part of the mob. He was part of, you know.
They bring him in.
They bring him in, and he'd be talking to us. He'd tell us exactly what they were looking for, the types of people they were looking for in terms of the players. And it's at the time, because gambling wasn't a thing like it is now, it was just kind of, this stuff just kind of went in one ear and out the other. But now it all makes a whole lot of sense as these guys keep falling off. And can, one more thing. This last thing. Athletes. Don't be dumb. Don't be a dumbass. Everybody is watching you. Everybody. The league is watching you. You're not going to get away. So you could try to have the best excuse and story lined up that you could possibly put together. You will be you will be expelled from the league, as Mr. Porter was.
Yeah. That's the only way they can react right now.
Yep.
And please don't send me an email, but you guys do a Daily Gambit segment.
Chris, we have to accept that that's always going to happen every time we talk about gambling.
But we're just guys on the radio having fun picking games. So,
well, we're
going to
be talking about
the
dangers. Have you guys seen some of the text messages from Ipe? Like,
dog.
They are.
Ipe was in it deep.
It's sad.
It was.
Because he's texting his bookie saying, hey, can you spot me another 200?
First of all,
can he use a
different word than bump?
Yeah, he kept using bump. But he did.
You can see, I mean,
you
Chris,
see desperation.
This man is talking, he's not talking in tens and twenties of dollars. He's like, let me get another
200.
Bump of 200. Yeah. Like, what?
He said, you know I'm good for it. Like, whenever someone says, you know I'm good for it, they're not good for it.
This also brings me to one of the things that Scraby brought up last week when I was home about, you know, people got it. Like, if you just looked at Ipe, you would have thought that he had any of those issues going on. But apparently those text messages reveal something far different.
Yes, it reveals exactly how he felt all day, every day. All right, Chris, sorry.
No worries. I think it all needs to be talked about. Giants are a run and a half favorite over the Diamondbacks tonight in San Francisco with Logan Webb on the hill, Ryan Nelson for Arizona. Who are you guys leaning towards there? Two NL West.
Ryan Nelson,
clubs.
Who was the other one?
Logan Webb, starting for San Francisco, who's off to a slow start. I think he's 1-2 with an ERA of about 4. Giants are 8-11. Diamondbacks are 9-10. Neither of them playing all that well yet behind the Padres in the standings.
I'm going to go Diamondbacks.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I don't think anybody asked you, but that's fine.
No one was saying anything, so I thought I would move this along for a second.
I was waiting
for
the question. Tony, who do you like here?
I like the Giants.
San Francisco. I'll take San Francisco, too. Logan Webb's
due
to twirl a masterpiece. Speaking of Logan Webb, 4.5 strikeouts is his over-under tonight. Tony, you're first. Over or under 4.5 Ks for Mr. Webb?
Over.
If he's going to win, he's going to be over, so I will agree. Scraby?
He usually gets his Ks. I'll say over.
Over. Oklahoma and BYU, college baseball. Don't know a thing about it,
over?
But we're desperate tonight.
Did you say over on the Ks?
Yes, I did.
Oh, okay.
Oklahoma's at BYU. 1.5 runs. Oklahoma's favored. Couldn't tell you a thing about either squad, but there aren't many games tonight.
I can tell you one thing.
What can you tell us?
That I ain't picking BYU.
That's right.
So,
and first, I'll take Oklahoma.
Sooners, baby.
Oh, another. Okay. Scrape, you want to be a contrarian?
Go Cougars.
Oh, wow. You're taking BYU on this show. Risky, I say.
I don't even know what sport we're talking about.
That was college
baseball.
That doesn't
even matter.
There.
You picked BYU, so.
They seem like they would be good at baseball. Oklahoma seems like they would be better, though. Wow, I'm getting the death stare from Tony right now.
Oh, you're going to get it from both of us. Final night.
Rooting for BYU is not Dodger-loving, chat.
It's pretty close.
It basically is. I'm just saying. Yeah. It's the same thing. Same colors and all.
Final night of the National Hockey League regular season, for those keeping track. Blackhawks finish up in Los Angeles against the Kings. Kings are going to the playoffs. Blackhawks are not. Kings are favored by 1.5 goals.
Somebody kept their playoffs hopes alive with a crazy comeback.
It was really weird. It was the Capitals. They were playing the Flyers or something. I might be wrong on that. But anyway, the opponent they were playing needed to win the game to stay in contention. So that team pulled their goalie in a tie score to try to get the winning goal. And because they needed to win, they couldn't afford a tie. So when they pulled their goalie, the Capitals scored an empty net goal, and that put the Capitals into the playoffs.
Oh, wow. Man.
So it's very strange.
That is strange.
How it all worked out.
It's kind of awesome, though.
Yeah, it was. All right, who do you like here, Scrape? Kings or Chicago in the final game of the year?
I keep doing the Kings. I'll do them.
Stick with the Kings. Tony?
Let's go with the Kings.
Kings for you. Blackhawks, I mean, I say, you know, you're going golfing tomorrow, so you might as well put in one more good effort tonight. I'll take the Blackhawks.
That's really
to keep
optimistic
close.
Thinking because it's like last day of school for these guys.
Yeah, they get to go home and go golfing tomorrow. All right, I think that's it. It's a really light night. There's hardly anything in sports.
Yeah,
on the scoreboard.
Ain't but like 6 baseball games a day.
Right. Most of them are over already. All right. We'll take a quick timeout when we come back. I don't know. I was going to talk a little bit about, you know, the Lakers and the Bulls because both teams looked really good this week.
Well, you know, I'm always down to talk Lakers.
Yeah. I mean, the NBA playoffs are starting to come into focus a little bit. So let's check out that after we check out traffic.
Welcome back. Gwen and Chris. AKA the Gaslighters, Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Sello, Matt Scraby.
I don't know, when I think of gaslighting, no, I'm not going to say what I think of.
Do you think of...
I'm not going to say what I think of. Don't make me.
I don't have my fart sound effect. I don't have it.
Why is it that you knew that's what I was thinking of?
I mean, anything gas or children. So.
We have been around each other for quite some time.
We are like 8 years old.
Yeah, fair enough.
Talking some NBA basketball. Lakers are into the playoffs, yeah, officially. And they're taking
what idiots they are for winning a game the other night and putting themselves in a position where they have to play the Nuggets when they could have just lost the game and risked their entire season for a chance to play Oklahoma City. I love what Darvin Hand said about it. He said, you and what insane asylum said we should lose this game.
He's also said to his team right after the game in a little more slang terms, he said, we not ducking no smoke and when all fades. And for those who may not know what a fade is, it's a fight. We're not ducking any fades. We want all of them out there.
There's no reason they should. Number one, they've got LeBron James on their team. They've got Anthony Davis on their team. And, you know, look, the Lakers are about winning the championship or not. They're not about making a playoff run.
No, they're not.
So if you're going to win the championship, you're going to have to beat Denver in one step somewhere.
You might as well get it done now.
So just play it. Yeah. Play it. And I think they have a legit chance. I know Denver's the defending champs. I know Denver's had their number. The games are a little closer, though, than we think they have been, Tony. They've all come down to the last 2 minutes, and it seems like the Lakers let them all get away. I don't know that Denver can count on that in this series. I think the Lakers have a legit shot here, and I'm not just saying that because, you know, I'm really not a big Laker fan. I just think that they're good.
I have been watching J.J. Redick and LeBron James' podcast, which is, if you're like really like getting into the X's and O's of basketball, I think you'll enjoy it. But I bring that up because LeBron brought up a great point. He was talking about the Warriors and how you can't have a letdown at any point against them because of the way their offense kind of works. It's kind of the same way Denver is now. It looks different because it's ran through Jokic and Murray. But if you have any letdown with Jokic with the ball, he's going to find that open guy, and they typically have
And he'll find it quickly.
And he'll find it quickly.
Yeah,
so
he is such a good decision maker.
I'm feeling much better because I'm pretty sure I said on air that if we have to play Denver, we have no shot. I'm gonna walk that back a little bit. I'm feeling a little bit better about
You know, when
that
I think of Jokic, though, I can't help but think of those Twitter videos of the kids who imitate him stumbling up and down the court. He is one of the funniest runners I've ever seen.
He 100% is.
In the history of mankind.
And he might have the only jump shot in the NBA that looks like your fellow old man at the YMCA. Behind the neck.
Except the result. Right down
is
the
cash
right
money.
Right down the middle, yeah. Denver will play the Lakers. You know, I think.
Can we talk about your team a little bit, too?
Yeah, I mean, Chicago, I mean, I never have any faith in them, but, you know, they played really well. Kobe White had such a great game, and they were really in command. I wish that every team that the Bulls played no defense like the Hawks, because it really isn't that hard.
They weren't playing.
You know, you make one dribble and you're past the first guy, and then the next thing you know, you're dunking the basketball. There's no resistance against the Hawks. So, but the Bulls catch a big break, and, you know, we'll see if they take advantage of it. You know, Jimmy Butler not going to play. He's the heart and soul of the Heat. I mean, Chicago, you know, to me, you have to take advantage of it. Then they would have to play Boston, and I know that would be curtains, but Boston is like a lot of teams in the NBA. And this is why I wanted to run by you, Tony, because you watch a lot more NBA than I did. Scraby and I talked about this yesterday, so I did a little fact-checking. But it seems to me that the team that hits the most three-point shots or is the most adept at hitting three-point shots almost always wins these NBA games. And I looked that up in the four games that have been played in the play-in tournament so far. The winning side has made 55 threes and has shot 44% from the arc, which is really, really good. The losing side has made only 44 threes and has shot 31%. So the team shooting 44% won all the games. The team shooting 31% lost all the games. Is the NBA getting to be that simple now, where if you just shoot great from three, you can beat anyone? Or am I missing something? Because it really seems to play such a huge part in almost every game. I know the Lakers shot great the other night, and when they do, they're really hard to beat.
Yeah, I mean, to answer your question, when you look at it from a number standpoint, it is that simple, right? And I think, you know, the problem with the three-pointer, especially what we saw in Boston last year, because this is how they've played the last couple of years.
That's what I think of with Boston. Is they could go cold,
if you go
conceivably.
Cold, we saw it happen. I mean, that's why they lost the series to the Heat in that, you know, 1-8 matchup, whatever it ended up being.
Yeah.
If you go cold, one of those teams can get, and they never adjusted. They kept firing threes away.
Them away. Yeah.
And you know, if your team isn't shooting the ball well, you can lose a series. But to your point, and I think this is what Boston's idea is. They're going to get up so many of them that, you know, the idea is even if we're having a bad shooting night, we're going to get up so many that we're still going to make enough to have a chance to win the game.
Well, Boston won a record number of games this year by, what was it, 30 points or something? Tony, I don't know what the stat was officially, but if you look at their regular season, they won a ton of games by blowout. And to me, those were the nights when they were just hitting their threes.
Yeah,
they scored. They beat Indiana. I'm looking back. They beat Indiana by 51 early in the season. I think they won three or four games by 50 points. And when they're hitting their threes, I mean, they make 25, 26 of them. It's lights out.
Yeah.
But I just wonder if they can ride that one aspect all the way to the championship. I don't know. I don't think it's great for the NBA. I still like a little offense run. And I know that, you know, setting a ball screen and putting Jason Tatum out there is almost unstoppable. So why do anything else? But it's more fun to watch all five guys moving around at once out there. And, you know, I think the NBA is getting away from that too much.
I think the crazy part is I think the teams that outside of the Celtics, I think everybody else is, I mean, in Denver, when you watch Denver, they throw that ball down to Jokic, everybody's moving.
No, you're right.
On the backside. The really good teams still do that.
Yeah.
They still have elements of that. Now, I think this league is still, you know, ball screen dominant, but it certainly, the teams that we'll be talking about later in this run, I don't think there's very many of them that play like Boston, where they just are getting up that many threes.
Unbelievable what they do. What was the game against Milwaukee where they shot 85 threes and 2 free throws?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
I think Boston didn't shoot any that game. I think the 2 free throws came from Milwaukee that day.
That's taking it to an extreme for sure. All right.
I believe it's me to get us to break. Huh? All right. Let's get us to break. I just saw what we have next. A little PPP coming our way.
Get us back to the Padres.
Yeah, let's get back to some Padre talk. Hopefully it's on the positive side.
No.
Okay. Just wishful thinking.
Wishful thinking.
More Gwen and Chris on the other way.
Hey, hey, hey. 3:37 is the time. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scraby, Gwen and Chris. 97.3 The Fan, Nick DiNucci doing a nice job on the board today for us. We appreciate that. Scraby is hands-free on the program today.
I'm a little lost, to be honest.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, you don't know what to do with yourself.
Is that all that different from what normally
is? This
is
another type of lost.
Oh, okay.
Because when I'm lost over there, I'm in my own element. But I'm lost over here. I just have to sit here with my hands, like, folded. What do I do over here?
I did not see this, but Pittsburgh Pirates pitcher Aroldis Chapman today
suspended
2 games, fined an undisclosed amount. How much is that normally, Tony, an undisclosed amount? What's that run, $10,000?
That's a good question.
Something like
that. They do a good job with the undisclosed. Like, unless the player is going to tell you, you really won't find out.
You won't find out.
Nuh-uh.
Chapman, inappropriate actions during Monday's game against the Mets.
What, did he, like, tickle him or something?
He
tickled the umpire, yes. Edwin Moscoso.
Oh, good old Moscoso.
The way Tony just reacted tells me this doesn't surprise Tony.
Edwin is not, I don't know Edwin, but I don't like his umpiring sometimes.
You know,
I gotta say this. I've gotten to know a lot of these umpires.
Right.
And having Mike Winters around this year.
Gives you a lot of perspective.
Has been a lot of fun, man.
Yeah,
like,
I'm telling you. It's
just
not easy.
I just have a bunch of nerd questions anyway about umpires because I've been around them for so long.
Yeah.
Most of the guys I still know pretty well, and when I see them, we have conversation. But it is refreshing a little bit to kind of hear it from his point of view. Now, not all the umpires agree with him. You know, he's all for the automated, any way we can make the game and help them get the calls right.
Right.
He's all for it.
Mike Winters.
That's not everybody. You know, Mike Winters is a pyre, so his opinion doesn't matter as much. But it is refreshing to kind of hear things from his side, from that side.
Interesting that Chapman will get a suspension. I don't know what will happen to the Toronto manager, and they're coming here this weekend.
Yes.
They're probably already here. Forgive me for honestly not. Is it Gibbons still?
No.
They've moved
Gibbons.
On from him.
for quite a while.
I'm sorry. We don't follow the American League, and when these teams come in, I don't know who all these guys are.
That's fair.
But Toronto was playing the Yankees yesterday, and we had the game up on TV, and one of the, it was a Toronto batter. I think it was Guerrero, took one. I got to be honest with you, Tony. It looked about a half an inch below the knee, and it was called a strike. And if you could read lips, the Toronto manager screamed from the dugout, "You suck!"
So that probably wasn't the first call. It probably was.
Well, my point is, and then he got tossed.
He got run.
Appropriately.
Can't say it. Those are magic words.
And then he came out, and he must have said that magic word, if I could read lips, another 6 or 7 times.
Yeah.
And I'm just, I try to come at it a little from the umpire's side. It was the wrong call. But do we really need to treat each other with that kind of disrespect? I know it's baseball. I know it's part of the fun. Seems like you can get your point across without demeaning a human being to that extent. Sorry, but that's kind of the way I looked at it.
I think a lot of times when you're heated in terms of him saying the magic words more than once, it's really the only thing that is coming into your head. You're seeing red.
I'm sure afterwards he's got to be like, wait a minute, what was I doing?
Love to have this debate style comeback where it's like clean.
Well, you know, sir,
this is at least 36 inches below. You know, you'd love to have something like that.
Right.
But it just comes out as those magic words often.
Yeah. Well, I'm really feeling very bad about the fact that I don't know who the manager of the Blue Jays is.
John Schneider.
Boom. Oh, you say that like everybody in the world knows it.
I said it yesterday.
Or like he just looked it up.
No, I said it yesterday in the commercial break, and I was kind of proud of myself.
It is John Schneider.
No, I did not look it up.
It is John Schneider, because now that I think about it, one of my favorite managers is on his staff, Don Mattingly.
Yeah.
Oh, Mattingly's on the map.
Look at me knowing all the managers around.
It looks like Santa Claus now.
Can somebody
without the belly.
Can somebody put Mattingly in the Hall of Fame where he belongs, please?
Yeah, man.
My goodness, what a hitter he was. All right. We digress. Let's get to, oh, my goodness. Brace for it, Tony. I'm not talking about traffic. I'm talking about what's after that. Padres pen pals.
From the 97.3 The Fan Traffic Center, here's Kelly Danik.
Traffic is sponsored by Viejas Casino and Resort. Got a crash blocking the left lane on eastbound 8 right at the 805. The Cordell and Cordell traffic cam shows a stalled vehicle blocking that right lane south 805 past University. Viejas Casino and Resort is home to the best players club in My Viejas. Start earning points toward incredible rewards like free gifts, concert tickets, hotel stays, dining discounts, and more. It's time to ditch the other guys and join the best. The My Viejas Players Club, Viejas Casino and Resort. And Kelly Danik with Gwynn and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
It's time to ask the experts, Padres fans.
I was hoping maybe you can bring a little insight into it.
Write us, tweet us, Facebook us, send a carrier pigeon for Chris. He thinks they're cute.
Aww.
Padres Pen Pals begins.
Hurt the pelota big time.
Now on 97.3 The Fan.
Another thing I can't stand about my new spot is this chair is probably the worst. This table is unusually low to the ground. Do you guys agree that this table is very low to the ground?
Not for us normal folks who have been sitting here for five years.
That's true.
It seems quite normal, actually.
I just hate this chair. I just feel out of sorts. But we're going to get through this Padres pen
pals. I don't come to work every day to hear you complain.
But you,
well,
get a,
you do
you
come
get a
to work every
dose
day, though.
Of it, though.
I know.
Every day.
I get a steady dose of
you
it.
You do. You get your medicine every day. All right. This is not all about Xander Bogaerts, as the chat says. There is a Xander Bogaerts question, but it has to do with someone else. So let's get right into it. And Nick, you can start the bed. But Tony, you're going to be up first on this one.
Let's do it.
Something that isn't talked about, but this was actually, or actually, this is me talking.
Before
we get into the message, something that isn't talked about, but was asked on the chat earlier today. I'm relaying this from the chat.
Gotcha.
We were talking about Xander Bogaerts and his contract, but this person hesitates to ask because they are about to criticize an untouchable in Joe Musgrove. The person said they don't really think he's bad or anything, but if they're going to criticize Xander, shouldn't we criticize No-No Joe? I love him, but I've seen this all over the place, and I can't figure out how I feel about it, is what this person is saying. Tony, what do you think?
First, what is he seeing the criticism of Joe all over the place? He's seeing criticism of Xander, and so he said, he's not the only one, is basically
correct.
Saying.
Yes.
I mean, that's kind of just the ebb and flow of baseball. I mean, Joe hadn't thrown the ball well. He threw it better in that Milwaukee game. Yu Darvish hasn't thrown the ball as well as he can. Manny, Ha Sung, they've all struggled to start. Manny's gotten going here in the last five or six games. He's swinging a bat better. This is, you know, the cliche, it's a team sport. I mean, this is kind of explains that all. I mean, everybody's going to struggle. You guys both have brought up numbers of my pops struggling. This is part of baseball. No one, even in a year in which Ted Williams hit 409.
Right.
He had some struggles during that year.
That means he got out 60% of the time.
Right. And so to the what's the lady or gentleman's name?
There's no real name because it came from the chat. It was a collection of comments.
I just think ultimately, you know, guys are going to struggle, and I think it's incumbent upon us who are watching to understand that and not necessarily single someone out. I think we've got Xander's being singled out because he's making a lot of money and he's struggling. He's not the first. Nor will he be the last. Okay. Sorry, guys.
Chris, what do you think?
Was that gaslighting?
That was gaslighting
Literally.
Just to be sure.
What do you think about criticizing Joe?
Joe? Yeah, yeah. Again, do so at your own peril. Last year on May the 20th, Joe Musgrove's record was 1-2 with a 6.75 ERA.
Speak to him, Chris.
All right, that was May the 20th, so that's much later into the season. After that, Joe Musgrove lost only one more game, finished 10-3 with a 3.05. Now, that doesn't guarantee anything for this year. But again, I'm going to go with the record that I've seen over 6 or 7 years as opposed to what I've seen over 2 or 3 starts.
Gaslight, huh?
Yes. I love Joe Musgrove, and I'm going to defend him to the end. You know, he could go 2-10 this year, and I'd still be able to throw in your complaining face out there that he shut down the Mets to win the division playoff. I mean, and he's thrown the only no-hitter in franchise history, and he's one of the most terrific guys that we're around.
Yeah, and he works.
So it's pretty hard for me to be critical of Joe. I'm just not gonna.
He works his tail off, too. Like, I can't even start down a path of criticizing Joe. You guys know I have a hard time criticizing any of these dudes because I know what they're putting into it. But specifically this man, that dude turns over every...
He's getting people together in the offseason to do like team bonding stuff on that boat. That was cool. All right. Let's go to the next one. Nicholas.
A real one.
This is actually kind of just for me and Chris, but you can comment, Tony.
I got it real quick.
Yeah.
So I said, excuse me, everybody. I belched. I just got a text from one of our good listeners, Aaron Jaffe. And he sent me a text of the Jaguars GM ripping a fart halfway through his answer.
Really? In a media conference?
In a media conference.
Boy. Yeah, that's embarrassing.
No, I didn't do that.
No, you're
I belched.
You're fine,
and it
Tony.
Was like it was barely a belch.
Yeah, you're fine compared to that.
Leave me alone, Aaron.
Oh, okay. He just sent me a text too. All right. By the way, he had a really funny post. And he is a very tall man, so he went around to all the different things that said you can't come in if you're 6'8" or taller, and so he kept hitting his head on things. It was pretty
funny. Is that tall.
All right, so Chris, this is about us. I have a problem.
Oh, this was about you. I read this, and I was thinking to myself, this ain't... I'll sit this one out.
I have a problem to address with you and Chris. You guys can't stop whining about Juan Soto being great with the Yankees. In fact, I would say you two are overshadowing the impact on the team while he was with the Padres. All of last season was not his fault, and getting on base is getting on base. Chris, why do you guys keep hating on Juan Soto?
Why do I keep hating on Juan Soto?
All right, give me an answer, see? Well, you go first. Oh, gosh, I didn't even... Why do I keep hating on Juan Soto? Because I just don't think he ever really cared about being a Padre. I don't think he did.
What did Cam Newton do when that wide receiver was talking to him?
He did. He fell out of his chair because he was so bored. But Tony literally just fell out of his chair, everybody, because I said that. I criticize Juan Soto because I've never seen a guy struggle so much for a team and then go to another team and just be incredible out the gate.
I can't do this.
Just like, did you...
Leaving the studio.
He's leaving the room?
Yeah.
It's frustrating to me to see all this. Chris?
I'll just answer your question by reading a tweet I got from Johnny Mako FSC.
Okay.
It says, at 97.3 The Fan, at Matt Scraby, at Tony Gwynn Jr. It says, hey, at Chris LOSD. I have always thought the same way you do about Juan Soto. I bet I even thought that about him way before you did. I'm just saying there's some people who agree.
Yeah, there are.
I don't I can't be critical of Juan Soto and his statistics, and I'll never be critical of his statistics. He's just not my style of player. That's all I can say, and that's all that I think is fair to say. You know, he's not my kind of guy. So
I think
that's why I don't miss him as much as everybody else does.
I just want everybody to know, I give Chris a hard time. I know what he's actually saying. And I get that he's not his type of player. I totally get that.
Yesterday, I mean, he could have won the game for them, but he took a walk and let Aaron Judge win the game.
Didn't he hit a homer early in that game?
He did.
Yeah,
okay,
he's hit a bunch of home runs, and he's hitting like .336 right
man.
Now. He's leading the league in walks.
You don't have to yell at me. I was just asking.
Gosh. I can't wait until someone pays $790 for him.
And I will just add to it that I did find it hilarious that the radio guys in New York went crazy on him for walking. That was really funny.
Swing the bat, bro! Swing the bat!
I had I think it was Alden. He when I saw him in L.A., we had a good chuckle about that.
The WFAN?
We had a good chuckle about that.
All right, let's get to the next one. I am trying to be as patient as you guys are with the Padres, but I just can't do it. I am not going to be too serious about this, but Johnny Brito has not been very good to start the year. I am not saying he needs to be sent down. I am not saying he needs to be traded or DFA'd, but I want to know this. Tony, do players get longer leashes when they are part of a big trade?
You know what? What's this gentleman's name?
I would have to go on my DMs.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't give the names anymore because people like, oh, you said my name. I said don't say my name. So.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. Good question. Do players get longer leashes if what?
If they're part of like a big trade, which he was, the Juan Soto trade.
Yeah. I don't know if they get big. They get a probably a longer leash. Especially when you gave up
Juan Soto.
There you go. I didn't want to. You're probably going to give these guys a little bit of chance, right? And I think right now, and this is why I think Mike Shields is so, he's trying to find soft landing spots for him to kind of build his confidence. He pitched well his last time out. It was in a spot where it was a little bit of softer landing for him. And I would honestly expect to see him in those spots until he proves otherwise. And that's what I think I've enjoyed about the bullpen in general, is that Mike Shield has put guys in different situations, different spots, while he's trying to figure out outside of Suarez who those guys are going to be. And it came out right now. It looks like Peralta, Matsui are the two late inning guys aside from Suarez.
Hey. 3:37 is the time. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scraby, Gwynn and Chris. 97.3 The Fan, Nick DiNucci doing a nice job on the board today for us. We appreciate that. Scraby is hands-free on the program today.
I'm a little lost, to be honest.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, you don't know what to do with yourself.
Is that
there.
All that different from what normally
this is?
Another
type of lost.
Oh, okay.
Because when I'm lost over there, I'm in my own element. But I'm lost over here. I just have to sit here with my hands, like, folded. What do I do over here?
I did not see this, but Pittsburgh Pirates pitcher Aroldis Chapman today.
Oh, suspended.
Suspended 2 games. Find an undisclosed amount. How much is that normally, Tony, an undisclosed amount? What's that run, a 10 grand?
That's a good question.
Something
like that.
They do
a good job with the undisclosed. Like, unless the player is going to tell you, you really won't find
out.
You
won't find out.
Nuh-uh.
Chapman, inappropriate actions during Monday's game against the Mets.
What, did he, like, tickle him or something?
He
tickled the umpire,
yes.
Edwin Moscoso.
Oh, good old Moscoso.
The way Tony just reacted tells me this doesn't surprise Tony.
Edwin is not, I don't know Edwin, but I don't like his umpiring sometimes.
You know,
I gotta say this. I've gotten to know a lot of these umpires.
Right.
And having Mike Winters around this year
gives you a lot of perspective.
Has been a lot of fun, man.
Yeah,
like,
I'm telling you.
Just,
not easy.
I just have a bunch of nerd questions anyway about umpires because I've been around them so long.
Yeah.
Most of the guys I still know pretty well, and when I see them, we have conversation. But it is refreshing a little bit to kind of hear it from his point of view. Now, not all the umpires agree with him. You know, he's all for the automated any way we can make the game and help them get the calls right.
Right.
He's all for it.
Mike Winters.
That's not everybody. You know, Mike Winters is a umpire, so his opinion doesn't matter as much. But it is refreshing to kind of hear things from his side, from that side.
Interesting that Chapman will get a suspension. I don't know what will happen to the Toronto manager. And they're coming here this weekend.
Yes.
They're probably already here. Forgive me for honestly not. Is it Gibbons still?
No.
They've moved on from him
for quite a while.
I'm sorry. We don't follow the American League. And when these teams come in, I don't know who all these guys are.
That's fair.
But Toronto was playing the Yankees yesterday. And we had the game up on TV. And one of the, let's see, it was a Toronto batter. I think it was Guerrero, took one. I got to be honest with you, Tony. It looked about a half an inch below the knee, and it was called a strike. And if you could read lips, the Toronto manager screamed from the dugout, "You suck!"
So that probably wasn't the first call. It probably was.
Well, my point is, and then he got, so then he got tossed.
He got run. Appropriately. Can't say it. Those are magic words.
And then he came out, and he must have said that magic word, if I could read lips, another six or seven times.
Yeah.
And I'm just, I try to come at it a little from the umpire's side. It was the wrong call. But do we really need to treat each other with that kind of disrespect? I know it's baseball. I know it's part of the fun. Seems like you can get your point across without demeaning a human being to that extent. Sorry, but that's kind of the way I looked at it.
I think a lot of times when you're heated, in terms of him saying the magic words more than once, it's really the only thing that is coming into your head. You're seeing red.
I'm sure afterwards he's got to be like, wait a minute, what was I doing?
You would
there?
Love to have this debate style comeback where it's
you're
just
right.
like clean.
Well, you know, sir,
this is at least 36 inches below. You know, you'd love to have something like that.
Right.
But it just comes out as those magic words often.
Yeah. Well, I'm really feeling very bad about the fact that I don't know who the manager of the Blue Jays is.
John Schneider.
Oh, you say that like everybody in the world knows it.
I said it yesterday.
Or like he just looked it up.
No, I said it yesterday in the commercial break, and I was kind of proud of myself.
It is John Schneider.
No, I did not look it up.
It is John Schneider, because then I think about it, one of my favorite managers is on his staff, Don Mattingly.
Yeah.
Oh, Mattingly's on the mat.
Look at me knowing all the managers around.
It looks like Santa Claus now.
Can somebody
without the belly.
Can somebody put Mattingly in the Hall of Fame where he belongs, please?
Yeah, man.
My goodness, what a hitter he was. All right. We digress. Let's get to, oh, my goodness. Brace for it, Tony. I'm not talking about traffic. I'm talking about what's after that. Padres pen pals.
From the 97.3 The Fan Traffic Center, here's Kelly Danik.
Traffic is sponsored by Viejas Casino and Resort. Got a crash blocking the left lane on eastbound 8 right at the 805. The Cordell and Cordell traffic cam shows a stalled vehicle blocking that right lane south 805 past University. Viejas Casino and Resort is home to the best players club in My Viejas. Start earning points toward incredible rewards like free gifts, concert tickets, hotel stays, dining discounts, and more. It's time to ditch the other guys and join the best. The My Viejas Players Club, Viejas Casino and Resort. And Kelly Danik with Gwynn and Chris, San Diego's number Board Sports Station 97.3 The Fan.
It's time to ask the experts, Padres fans.
I was hoping maybe you can bring a little insight into it.
Write us, tweet us, Facebook us, send a carrier pigeon for Chris. He thinks they're cute.
Aww.
Padres Pen Pals begins.
Hurt the pelota big time.
Now on 97.3 The Fan.
Another thing I can't stand about my new spot is this chair is probably the worst. This table is unusually low to the ground. Do you guys agree that this table is very low to the ground?
Not for us normal folks who have been sitting here for five years.
That's true.
It seems quite normal, actually.
I just hate this chair. I just feel out of sorts. But we're going to get through this Padres pen
pals. I don't come to work every day to hear you complain.
But you
I get a steady dose of it.
You do. You get your medicine every day. All right. this is not all about Xander Bogaerts, as the chat says. There is a Xander Bogaerts question, but it has to do with someone else. So let's get right into it. And Nick, you can start the bed. But Tony, you're going to be up first on this one.
Let's do it.
Something that isn't talked about, but this was actually, or actually, this is me talking.
Which is your question?
Before we get into the message, something that isn't talked about, but was asked on the chat earlier today. I'm relaying this from the chat.
Gotcha.
We were talking about Xander Bogaerts and his contract, but this person hesitates to ask because they are about to criticize an untouchable in Joe Musgrove. The person said they don't really think he's bad or anything, but if they're going to criticize Xander, shouldn't we criticize No-No Joe? I love him, but I've seen this all over the place, and I can't figure out how I feel about it, is what this person is saying. Tony, what do you think?
First, what is he seeing the criticism of Joe all over the place? He's seeing criticism of Xander, and so he said, he's not the only one, is basically
correct.
What I'm
saying. Yes.
I mean, that's kind of just the ebb and flow of baseball. I mean, Joe hadn't thrown the ball well. He threw it better in that Milwaukee game. Yu Darvish hasn't thrown the ball as well as he can. Manny, Ha Sung, they've all struggled to start. Manny's gotten going here in the last 5 or 6 games. He's swinging a bat better. This is, you know, the cliche, it's a team sport. I mean, this is kind of explains that all. I mean, everybody's going to struggle. You guys both have brought up numbers of my pops struggling. This is part of baseball. No one, even in a year in which Ted Williams hit .409.
Right.
He had some struggles during that year.
That means he got out 60% of the time.
Right. And so, to the, what's the lady or gentleman's name?
There's no real name because it came from the chat. It was a collection of comments.
I just think ultimately, you know, guys are going to struggle. And I think it's incumbent upon us who are watching to understand that and not necessarily single someone out. I think we've got Xander's being singled out because he's making a lot of money and he's struggling. He's not the first.
Excuse me.
Nor will he be the last.
Okay.
Sorry, guys.
Chris, what do you think?
Was that gaslighting?
That was gaslighting
Literally.
Just to be sure.
What do you think about criticizing Joe?
Joe? Yeah. Again, do so at your own peril. Last year on May the 20th, Joe Musgrove's record was 1-2 with a 6.75 ERA.
Speak to him, Chris.
All right, that was May the 20th, so that's much later into the season. After that, Joe Musgrove lost only one more game, finished 10-3 with a .305. Now, that doesn't guarantee anything for this year. But again, I'm going to go with the record that I've seen over 6 or 7 years as opposed to what I've seen over 2 or 3 starts.
Gaslighter!
Yes, I love Joe Musgrove, and I'm going to defend him to the end. You know, he could go 2-10 this year, and I'd still be able to throw in your complaining face out there that he shut down the Mets to win the division playoff. I mean, and he's thrown the only no-hitter in franchise history, and he's one of the most terrific guys that we're around.
And he works.
So it's pretty hard for me to be critical of Joe.
He works his tail off, too. Like, I can't even start down a path of criticizing Joe. You guys know I have a hard time criticizing any of these dudes because I know what they putting into it. But specifically this man, that dude turns over
he's getting people together in the offseason to do like team bonding stuff on that boat. That was cool. All right. Let's go to the next one. Nicholas.
A real one.
This is actually kind of just for me and Chris, but you can comment, Tony.
I got it real quick.
Yeah.
So I said, excuse me, everybody. I belched. I just got a text from our one of our good listeners, Aaron Jaffe. And he sent me a text of the Jaguars GM ripping a fart halfway through his answer.
Really? In a media conference?
In a media conference.
Boy. Yeah, that's embarrassing.
No, I didn't do that.
No, you're
I belched.
You're fine,
and it
Tony.
Was like it was barely a belch.
Yeah, you're fine compared to that.
Leave me alone, Aaron.
Oh, okay. He just sent me a text too. All right. By the way, he had a really funny post, and he is a very tall man, so he went around to all the different things that said you can't come in if you're 6'8" or taller, and so he kept hitting his head on things. It was pretty
He
funny.
Is that tall.
All right, so Chris, this is about us. I have a problem.
Oh, this was about you. I read this, and I was thinking to myself, this ain't... I'll sit this one out.
I have a problem to address with you and Chris. You guys can't stop whining about Juan Soto being great with the Yankees. In fact, I would say you two are overshadowing the impact on the team while he was with the Padres. All of last season was not his fault, and getting on base is getting on base. Chris, why do you guys keep hating on Juan Soto?
Why do I keep hating on Juan Soto?
See?
All right, give me an answer, see?
Well,
you go first.
Oh, gosh. I didn't even Why do I keep hating on Juan Soto? Because I just don't think he ever really cared about being a Padre. I don't think he did.
What did Cam Newton do when that wide receiver was talking to him?
He did. He fell out of his chair because he was so bored. But Tony literally just fell out of his chair, everybody, because I said that. I criticize Juan Soto because I've never seen a guy struggle so much for a team and then go to another team and just be incredible out the gate.
I can't do this.
Just like, did you?
He's Tony, leaving the studio.
He's leaving the room?
Yeah.
It's frustrating to me to see all this. Chris?
I'll just answer your question by reading a tweet I got from Johnny Mako FSC.
Okay.
It says, at 97.3 The Fan, at Matt Scraby, at Tony Gwynn Jr. It says, hey, at Chris LOSD. I have always thought the same way you do about Juan Soto. I bet I even thought that about him way before you did. I'm just saying there's some people who agree.
Yeah, there are.
I can't be critical of Juan Soto and his statistics, and I'll never be critical of his statistics. He's just not my style of player. That's all I can say, and that's all that I think is fair to say. You know, he's not my kind of guy. So
I think
that's why I don't miss him as much as everybody else does.
I just want everybody to know, I give Chris a hard time. I know what he's actually saying. And I get that he's not his type of player. I totally get that.
Yesterday, I mean, he could have won the game for them, but he took a walk and let Aaron Judge win the game.
Didn't he hit a homer early in that game?
He did.
Yeah, okay, he's hit a bunch of home runs, and he's hitting like .336 right
man.
Now. He's leading the league in walks.
You don't have to yell at me. I was just asking. Gosh.
I can't wait until someone pays $790 for him.
And I will just add to it that I did find it hilarious that the radio guys in New York went crazy and had him walking. That was really funny.
Swing the bat, bro! Swing the bat!
I had I think it was Alden. When I saw him in L.A., we had a good chuckle about that.
The WFAN?
We had a good chuckle about that.
All right, let's get to the next one. I am trying to be as patient as you guys are with the Padres, but I just can't do it. I am not going to be too serious about this, but Johnny Brito has not been very good to start the year. I am not saying he needs to be sent down. I am not saying he needs to be traded or DFA'd, but I want to know this. Tony, do players get longer leashes when they are part of a big trade?
You know what? What's this gentleman's name?
I would have to go on my DMs.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't give the names anymore because people like, oh, you said my name. I said don't say my name. So.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. Good question. Do players get longer leashes if what?
If they're part of like a big trade, which he was, the Juan Soto trade.
Yeah, I don't know if they get big. They get a probably a longer leash. Especially when you gave up
Juan Soto.
There you go. You're probably going to give these guys a little bit of chance, right? And I think right now, and this is why I think Mike Shields is so, he's trying to find soft landing spots for him to kind of build his confidence. He pitched well his last time out. It was at a spot where it was a little bit of softer landing for him. And I would honestly expect to see him in those spots until he proves otherwise. And that's what I think I've enjoyed about the bullpen in general, is that Mike Shield has put guys in different situations, different spots, while he's trying to figure out outside of Suarez who those guys are going to be. And right now it looks like Peralta, Matsui are the two late inning guys aside from Suarez. But I think it's a fair question. I think he is being given a longer leash. I think he will be giving a longer leash until, you know, they feel like either someone below deserves a chance more than he does, or until he figures it out.
Chris, do you think guys get a longer leash when they're part of a big trade?
Welcome to the rest of the world.
That's a
yes.
Great point. Yes.
People that make more money in all aspects of life are given a little more opportunity. That's just part of the world. When I came to San Diego State, I had a certain scholarship, but it wasn't the same level as some other guys. And if they didn't get guys out, guess what? They came right back out and pitched again until they figured it out. When I didn't get guys out, I sat and thought about it for a few games.
Yeah,
it's just, yes, the world is not fair. Certain people get other opportunities. I will say this about Johnny Brito, though. His numbers have not impressed me. But I did watch him closely the other day in Milwaukee. His ball moves around like a son of a gun.
Yeah, it does.
If he ever gets that thing organized, they're going to have a trouble hitting him because that ball has some serious movement on it. He just hasn't harnessed it yet. So
that's what they're looking at, too.
Like, don't give up on him yet.
The other thing is, real quick, like when I got drafted as a second-round pick, I'm going to get more of a look, more of a chance than maybe the 10th or 11th round pick in that draft.
Yeah, they invested in you more.
Exactly. And so that's partly why, you know, the investment was Juan Soto. So everybody coming over is going to be given a good look.
All right. Thank you to everyone who submitted their questions.
Is that it? I was hoping there were more.
That wasn't even that bad.
I think you're gaslighting me now.
Gaslighter!
All right. Chris vs. the Fans is next. 833-288-0973. You could go to Las Vegas. You have to dial in and play.